And so to go in conjunction with us starting 21 Days of Prayer, we are starting a brand new series today called Reset. Somebody say reset. How many of y'all just need a reset in your life right now? You just feel like, man, I need a reset. I need to start over. It's August, but I need to start over. The cool thing about it is today is August 1st. It's the first day of the month. You can start fresh. You can start over. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to be walking through this series. And we believe that it's important to have a time where we can experience a renewal, where we can catch our breath, so to speak, where we can start fresh. And so we're going to go to the book of Matthew chapter 11 today, verses 28 through 30, to kick off our series Reset. And for all of our online family, it's such an awesome privilege to have you here. If you can hit the share button, if you're watching on Facebook, for those of us who are here in the auditorium, we want you to share it on Facebook as well. Help us to reach even more people for Christ, so that way they could experience a reset as well. Text somebody, tell them you got to tune in right now. Send them the link so that way they can experience the reset that God has for them. So Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 is where we're going to camp out today. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. And I'm just going to ask us just to stand just for a brief moment for the reading of God's word, just as we honor his word. If you are able to, if you're at home, you can stand as well. If you're in the car, stay seated. Stay seated. But Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says this: "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So I want to preach from this theme and thought today as we kick off part one of our series, Reset. I want to preach from this theme and thought. Take a break. I want you to find a person that's standing next to you as you go to your seat. Tell them, take a break. Find somebody that says, you look like you need a break. You look like you need a break. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your presence. We thank you for all that you're doing in this place. I pray that you would move through your Holy Spirit. For those of us who are here assembled in this room together physically, I pray as well that you would move in the homes of those and in the hearts of those who are watching online. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Take a break. Somebody say, I need a break. I need a break. I want to ask this question. Have you ever hit a moment in your life where things got so heavy and you said those words, I need a break? Anybody ever said that before? Need a break. I need a break. Been stuck in this house for months. I need a break. Need a vacation. Work has become stressful. I need a break. Dealing with problems. I need a break. Dealing with these kids. Need a break. Some of us can't wait till school starts back up. I remember there was times in college where I was studying for hours at a time. There was one particular class, it was chemistry. I think it was like chemistry 105. And I was studying and preparing, and you know, I didn't do due diligence, and don't judge me, because I know I'm not the only one in here who was study challenged here. Come on. Y'all acting real saved today. You know good and well you didn't study for every test. But there was moments I remember in that class where, very difficult class, and there was this kind of naive nature that I had, like, oh, you know, I'll be good, you know, like I could just learn this, and you know, I don't really got to pay a whole lot of attention. It was freshman year, I was making dumb decisions, right? But it got to the point where it's time to take the exam or to prepare for an exam, and I began to look at all the things that needed to be covered to prepare. And so I'm like, okay, this is gonna be a problem. I'm not ready. So continuing on in my naive thought, I thought that I could just, you know, let me just pull an all-nighter. Anybody ever pulled that? Let me just pull an all-nighter and I'll be good. Chemistry is not one of them classes where you can pull an all-nighter and study, unless you're just naturally gifted. But me and my crazy self, you know, I'm gonna just pull an all-nighter. And I remember it was like 2, 3, 4 in the morning, you know, and I still wasn't getting it. I was like, man, fam, I just need a break. And I'm just going to get to this point where I'm probably going to fail this test because I didn't do due diligence. And I know I'm definitely not going to do well if I don't give myself a break and at least take a nap. Because I'm not going to be mentally fresh in order to have any chance at taking this test. You may be wondering, Pastor Edwin, what happened? I failed it. I'm just going, I'm going to keep it 100 with you. I didn't do well. But I remember there was plenty of times, not even just in that class, but just throughout college where, you know, where I grew and did become more disciplined with my study habits and things of that nature. But there was times where I was going really, really hard and just spending a whole lot of time in books and engineering and all these things of this nature. And I remember at one moment, I was like, man, I need to take a break because I'm consuming so much. I remember in 2009, I was a youth pastor at my church growing up phenomenal church, Abyssinia Baptist Church, Pastor Nelson, he's one of my pastors to this day. And I remember in 2009, it was like I hit a lid and I hit a wall and I, you know, was waking up and I didn't feel motivated to do what God was calling me to do. I was like in this emotional funk, if you will. And here's what's interesting. It was during 21 days of prayer and fasting at our church where I felt this. And I remember at the time I lived on this side of the water, churches in Norfolk, and I remember driving across the tunnel. It was like we had 6 a.m. prayer. So it wasn't like 8 a.m. prayer. We're going to be doing 8 a.m. prayer on Wednesdays on Facebook Live. It wasn't 8 a.m. prayer. It was 6 a.m. prayer. You know you got to be saved to go to 6 a.m. prayer. The only thing we seeking at 6 a.m. is Jesus. And I remember just driving over. I'm like, man, I'm not motivated. And it's not because it's super early and I'm not a morning person. It's just like I don't have any desire. And I feel like I'm in this funk and there's nothing that I'm doing that can get me out of it. And then I quickly realized over some time, like I was kind of mildly depressed and filled with a lot of anxiousness. And I remember in that moment, I was like, man, I need to take a break. Whatever that break looks like. I want to know, have you ever had a moment in your life where you felt like you needed to take a break? Where life became so hard, you were caring for this person and stuff was happening on your job and things were happening financially and you know stuff wasn't right at home and it was just like, man, I need a break. And if I don't get a break, I'm going to break down. I need a break. And when I think about this, I thought about the story that was making headlines all throughout the course of this week surrounding Simone Biles. And in case you're not familiar with Simone Biles, she's considered to be arguably the GOAT of gymnastics, the most decorated gymnast in history. And this past week, as the Olympics were beginning and she was beginning her competition, it was interesting because she talked about how she was going through warm-up. She felt like something wasn't right. And she persevered, she went through warm-ups only to start the competition, and within her first routine, she stumbled in a way that kind of indicated everything that she was feeling prior to the competition taking place. This story made headlines because she ultimately withdrew from that competition after just a few moments competing. And at first, many people thought, you know, is it physical? Did she sprain her ankle? Did she hurt her arm or whatever the case may be? And come to find out, it wasn't physically related, but it was discovered that she was experiencing shaking and panic attacks and wasn't in the best place mentally to perform at her normal high level. And it was crazy to see people's responses to it to some degree, right? Now, you might have doubts like, oh, you know, she could have pressed through. Okay, well, fine, whatever. But when you are that high up in the air, doing all the twists that she doing, when the last time you ever jumped off a balance beam in a trampoline and twisted in the air 6 or 7 times? Some of y'all try to go to Sky Zone right now today and you will break your neck trying to do that. And she said, hold, it's not right. She talked about how she had or was known, and I don't know anything about gymnastics, so I was learning a whole lot this week. She talked about how she was experiencing what gymnasts call twisties, which is where you're in the air and you're flipping around so much and you don't really know whether you're up or down. And it can lead to you experiencing major and significant injury in your competition. And it actually happened to somebody who was a gymnast years ago and she experienced paralysis because of it. And the thing that Simone Biles would highlight was the pressure that she was dealing with to be perfect and to achieve more and to produce more, so much to where it now began to impact her mentally, impact her performances, and causing her to step away from the biggest competition in her sport. Here's what Simone Biles is ultimately saying in very short words. I need a break. I need a break. Because I'm not able to function at the level that I normally can function at. Anybody ever been there before? Well, I'm functioning, but something's not right. I can go through the motions, but something's not right. And it's interesting because when I think about that, we come here to Matthew chapter 11, and Jesus is speaking to a group of people who are worn out by the demands of life, but more specifically, the demands that many of the religious leaders, the Pharisees and Sadducees specifically, were placing on them. That in addition to 10 commandments, all these things, they had came up with about 613 additional laws, if you will, and traditions and customs that they were imposing on the people to cause them to believe, similar to today, that in order to be in a right relationship with God, this is what you got to do. You got to be perfect. And the listeners here that Jesus is talking to are exasperated. They're burdened. They're burned out. And I think, if we could be honest, that all of us can identify with this. Because I think over the past year and a half, we have felt burdened, we have felt stressed, we have felt tired, we have felt depleted by everything in life. We've gone through spiritual burdens, the effects of maybe sin in your own life, spiritual brokenness in your families and those around you, COVID fatigue. We gotta wear a mask again? This Delta variant again, like there's so much going on that can leave us depleted. Racial injustices, financial strain, mental fatigue. There's so much that's going on right now that can leave us in this place of feeling burdened, feeling taxed, feeling exhausted. And what I've come to realize, fam, is that there are times in your life where a getaway does not help you. Where taking a day doesn't always help you. Those are good, but they don't always help you. Because what it is, it's not just that your body is tired. It's that your soul is tired. Your spirit is tired. And binge watching a whole season of Friends on Netflix ain't gonna help you. Come on. Like watching all the sports doesn't help your spirit and soul when it's weary, because now I'm at this place where I can't function, I don't have focus, there's no peace. And some of you, because of that, have turned now to substances, to harmful habits, to sinful products and practices, because you're trying to find release from the burdens that you may feel. And I get it. Life is so hard. I need this. I need to shoot this up. I need to shoot up so that way I can feel some release. Life is so hard. So let me go get this six pack and another six pack so that way I can try to cope a little bit with how hard things are. Work is so hard. They're putting so much stress on me. There's so many demands on me right now that I got to turn to this sinful, you know, practice or harmful practice to help me cope. And I think a lot of the reasons why we turn to different things is because, not necessarily because we're bad people, it's because I just want to feel better. I need some help coping because life is so hard. And you may be watching online and maybe here in this room. You may be saying, Pastor Edwin, I've tried a lot of things. I've done a lot of things. I've been with a lot of people and I still don't feel peace. I still feel drained. But I'm here to give you good news. That if you're tired, if you're weary, if you feel burdened today by what's going on in your life, Jesus wants to give you a reset. I thought I would get a few more amens right there. If you feel overwhelmed, if you feel tired, if you feel stressed, if you feel filled with anxiety, if you feel burdened by everything that's going on in life, I want you to know Jesus is saying, hey, you've come to the right place today. I got good news that even if you feel depleted, come to me because I'll give you a reset. Can somebody say amen right there? And I love the fact that we are in 21 days of prayer and fasting, because I know many of us have had the opportunity to talk with many of us in here and walk through journeys of life. As you've gone through so many hard moments over this past year, we all have experienced and endured so many difficult moments. But God sent me here today on this week one of this brand new series, Reset, on day one of 21 days of prayer and fasting, to let you know if you are hard right now in your heart, if you got some stress right now in your life, if you are worn out, drained, depleted, heavy burdened, heavy laden, Jesus says, I will reset you. And the way that he does that is this. He gives us an invitation. And I like what he says here in verse 28. He says this, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. Fam, I want you to understand if you're tired and if you're weary, you can come to Jesus. He's not going to condemn you. He's not going to judge you. He's not going to throw shade at you. He's not going to hold your stuff over your head. No, no, no. He says, if you're tired, if you're burdened, I want you to come to me. No, no, no. You've been trying to go to a whole bunch of other things. You've been trying to go to this person. You've been trying to go to this place. You've been trying to go to this possession. No, no, no. I want you to come to me. And why does Jesus give us this invitation? He gives us this invitation because he wants us to receive rest from him. That's my first point if you're taking notes. He extends this invitation. He invites us to receive rest from him. Notice what he says. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Come on, say it with me. I will give you what? I will give you rest. What does the word rest mean? It doesn't mean to sleep for 8-9 hours. That's great. Awesome. I love sleep. Wish I get a little bit more. You got 3 blessings called kids. Don't always work that way. But that's not what he's talking about here. Because you can sleep for 10 hours and still not be rested. Anybody ever been on vacation and you're like, I need a break from the break. You vacation so hard, it's like, yo, fam, I need a break. That's why you book out 2 weeks. It's like, we're gonna go hard this week, but we're going to take a whole week to recover. It's like working out. Like, I'm going hard in the gym. I need a recovery day. I need a recovery vacation week. You can get hours of sleep and still not be rested. Because rest, what Jesus is talking about, has nothing to do with physical fatigue. It has to do with soul fatigue. It has to do with a peace on the inside. This word rest actually means to cease or to stop from doing something. It means to also be refreshed. What kind of rest does Jesus give? He gives soul rest, which is the deepest kind of rest that we need, which drives everything else. If your soul isn't right, your life won't be right. If your spirit is jumpy, your life will be jumpy. True rest, write this down, is not found in a destination. True rest is found in a place, is found in a person, and his name is Jesus. It's not about a destination. It's about a person. And I want you to understand something. Rest is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. Here's what Hebrews 4:9 says. Therefore, a Sabbath rest remains for God's people. For the person who has entered his rest has rested from his own works, just as God did from his. Let us then make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall into the same pattern of disobedience. What is the writer of Hebrews helping us to understand? He's ultimately pointing to the finished work of Jesus and how when people place their faith and trust in Jesus, they don't have to work for their salvation because when they come to Jesus, they receive salvation. So I can rest from this pattern of thinking that I gotta do something to be made right with God. Because the Bible says we are saved by grace through faith. In other words, grace is a gift. It is God's unmerited favor. It is God's unconditional love. And it's interesting that the writer here would say a Sabbath rest. Why is that so important? Because the pattern in the Old Testament was God created for 6 days and he rested on the Sabbath. It took a Sabbath. He rested. He didn't rest because he needed it, he rested to show us that we needed it. He didn't rest because he was tired. No. He was setting a pattern of rest for our lives. That I want you to have some peace in your life. I want you to have some renewal in your life. I want you to be refreshed in your life. And sometimes a reset means that I need to get away for a few moments to be replenished by Jesus so that I can be who he's called me to be and do what he's called me to do. One of the things that's so profound about Jesus during his earthly ministry, Jesus would constantly, the Bible would say, withdraw to solitary places and pray and commune with the Father to be refreshed. I'm gonna read a few scriptures. Get ready to take notes. Here's what Luke 5 says. But the news about him spread even more, and large crowds would come together to hear him and be healed of their sickness. You know what he did? Yet he often withdrew to deserted places and he prayed. He withdrew, he left. Here's what Matthew 14, 23 says. After dismissing the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. By himself. Well into the night, he was there alone. It don't stop there, it gets gooder. That's not a word. It's not good English, but it's good theology. Here's what Mark 6 says. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done. Jesus, we did this. Jesus, we did that. And notice what he says to them. Come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while. For many people were coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Have you ever been moving at a frantic place in your life where there were certain needs in your life that did not get met because you were moving at 100 miles an hour? And Jesus, notice here, he doesn't even acknowledge the good things that they did. He says, hey, come get rest. You've been going so hard. You've been working overtime after overtime after overtime. You've been boasting and hashtagging, team no sleep. I'll sleep when I'm dead. Well, fam, you'd be there a lot quicker than you expect. Jesus says, no. Come to me. Come rest. Here's what Psalm 62 says. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Here's what Jesus wants us to understand. He wants us to see that rest comes from him. That we can't go to any other place and get the soul rest that we need. It only comes from Jesus. And Jesus gives us this invitation. And he says, hey, I know you're weary, and I know you're burdened, and I know you got a lot going on, and I know you got to raise kids, you got marriage, you got work, you got this, and there's so much pulling for your attention right now. I want you to come to me and receive rest. And that's what 21 days of prayer and fasting is all about. It's all about us withdrawing from certain things. So maybe I need to withdraw from the TV. I know I just cussed. Maybe I need to withdraw from food. Oh boy, sweets, oh boy. Maybe I need to withdraw from social media. Ain't nobody giving me no amens right now. It's quiet in here. So that we can be in tune with God. Because it's gonna be very hard for me to give God my attention when everything else has it. And oftentimes we'll think that fasting and prayer, the only time we may fast and pray is when we want something from God. That's not what fasting and prayer was about. If you look all throughout the scripture, fasting and prayer, write this down, isn't about getting God's attention. It's about him getting ours. Us fasting and praying is not so that way we can get something from God. God, I'm fasting for 21 days because I want a breakthrough. God can do that, but he'd rather have your heart. There is something that God wants to do in you more so than he wants to do for you. There's something that he wants to give you in the form of rest. This is why we turn over plates during this season. If you need to know more about fasting, you go online on our website. We got it all up there. This is why we say no to certain things so that way we can say yes to God. Because I need to rest. And I know as we're here in August and the summer's beginning to wind down and you might be kind of planning a few more things that you're going to do, that's awesome. Here's what I want to call you to do and invite you to do. I want you to plan to experience rest from Jesus as well. Set aside some time to withdraw. To withdraw from all of the ripping and running, the racing, and create time and carve out time for God. We don't seek God to get what we want. We seek God to know him better. And Jesus doesn't just invite us to receive rest from him. But here in verses 29 through 30, notice what he says. He says, take up my yoke and learn from me because I am lowly and humble in heart and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke, somebody say yoke. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here's what he's inviting us to. He wants to invite us now to experience not just rest from him, but now rest in him. Rest in him. What I mean by this, notice the language that Jesus uses here. He says the yoke. Now, he's not talking about yolk and the egg. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about an agricultural terminology that was used by those in the first century that describes a device, and it was a wooden bar or piece that farmers would use to connect one animal to the next. I think we got it up on the screen. I don't know if we got it or not. But it's a device that would connect two animals together, specifically maybe two oxen who were plowing land together. And he says, you have been yoked up with a lot of things that have left you weary and burdened. He says, but I want you to be yoked up with me. Because when you're yoked up with me, you'll learn from me, and you'll learn that I'm lowly and humble in heart. You'll find rest, but you'll also find that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And when farmers would connect the necks of the pair of oxen to plow, they would often train a younger to train younger oxen. Farmers would oftentimes connect the yoke or connect the younger oxen to an older oxen by the yoke, so that way the older one does the heavy lifting of the work. Do you see the imagery that Jesus is getting at here? He says, I'm the big ox. You've been trying to plow through life on your own, and it's left you weary and burdened because you've been yoked up to wrong things. But if you get yoked up with me, you'll notice that I'll be the one to do the heavy lifting in your life. That the burden of your life no longer rests on your shoulders, it rests on mine. Come on, somebody. That the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that I don't have to carry my life myself. No, in Christ Jesus, he says, I'll carry your life for you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says it like this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. In other words, can I say it like this? I want you to lean on Jesus in this season. Lean on him. How many of y'all remember that old school movie back in the day called Lean on Me? Y'all remember that song, Lean on Me? Some of y'all don't. No? Just go YouTube it today. Jesus is saying, I want you to lean on me. Because you've been leaning on your own understanding. You've been leaning on your own skill. You've been leaning on your own intellect. And that always leaves you burdened, empty, drained, emotionally spent, because you're leaning in your own strength. And resting in Jesus means I trust and lean on him to carry the heavy load in my life. Resting in Jesus means I trust more in what he can do than what an I can do. Trusting in Jesus means I understand this principle, that God created me and created us to be human beings, not human doings. I'm gonna say it again because I don't know if you got it. God created us to be human beings, not human doings. In other words, I made up a word. In other words, your life is not to be characterized by what you do. Your life is to be characterized by what Jesus has already done for you. My identity doesn't flow from what I do. My identity flows from who I am in Christ and what he's done for me on the cross and through his resurrection. That's where my identity flows from, which now takes the pressure off of me. And so many of us are in here and we got so much pressure on us. And Jesus is saying, if you would yoke up on me, you would see the pressure begin to shift from your shoulders to mine. And oftentimes, and I've done it plenty of times, We can take pride in ourselves. We like to take pride in ourselves and what we do. But in the end, over time, it leaves us frustrated and fatigued. And a perfect example of this is the scripture in the story. There was these two women by the name of Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. We got the scripture for you up on the screen. Jesus and his disciples were going to some of Jesus' closest friends to their crib. He pulling up just out of nowhere. It was unannounced. He didn't send her a text saying, hey, we on the way. Jesus just shows up unannounced. And all of a sudden, Martha goes into scramble mode. He's probably Martha's house, more than like Martha's house. She was the one who was taking care of all the, you know, the hospitality related things. She has a great gift of hospitality, you know, from scripture. Obviously, everybody was always eating at Martha's house, so obviously Martha's food must have been good. You know, she made potato salad without the raisins, you know? Her fried chicken must have been great. She must know how to make some great string beans. Her apple pie must have been phenomenal. Because everybody was always pulling up their house to eat. So one day Jesus pulls up with the disciples. While they were traveling, the Bible says he entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. Here's what Martha says. She was distracted. Somebody say distracted. She was distracted by her many tasks. And she came up and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand. Let me give you the PET, the Pastor Edwin translation. Lord, don't you see her over here just chilling and not doing, she ain't cleaning up no clothes, she ain't folding up no laundry, I got pots and pans out here, and she chilling listening to you. Tell this girl to come over here and do some work. She's stressed out. You know what Jesus says to her? Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about so many things. But one thing is necessary, and Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. What was Jesus alluding to? Not that what you're doing is not important, Martha, but what's most important is not what you do, but it's who you're becoming. Jesus says, I prioritize being before doing. Doing flows out of being. Martha, Mary chose the right thing. She chose to be with me. And oftentimes what happens is we live our lives in reverse. We spend more time doing than being. And then what happens is now we're pouring now from an empty tank because we spend no time seeking Jesus. And Jesus is like, I want you to experience rest in me. And many of us are tired and overwhelmed because we're putting our hands to things that God never called us to. We're overextending ourselves. Ain't nobody tell you to do all that. But if it don't get done, who gonna do it? You better just trust God. Did he call you to do it? No, I don't do it. Y'all like that. Y'all like that, huh? Because all of us got the little Martha spirit in this. There are times when we sacrifice. There are times when we push through. Yes, but then there's times we got to recognize, no, I'm taking a break from this. I don't got nothing to do with this. Jesus, I'm going to trust in you. And many of us live these lives like cars that never stop. So the engine is always running. The motor is always running. And anybody who knows anything about mechanics and engineering, if you keep running that thing and it never takes a break, it will become exhausted and it will blow up. And many of our lives are on the verge of blowing up and breaking down because we haven't broken away. And Jesus says, come to me, rest in me, because your worth isn't connected to what you do. Your worth is connected to what Jesus has already done for you. On the cross for your sin, your shame, your strongholds. Let me say it like this plainly. I feel like some of us need to hear this. You are not what you do. What you produce does not define who you are. I know that's countercultural because the world says you are what you do. Jesus is like, no, you are what I've done. I apply my righteousness to you. The relationship that you have with God the Father through me is not based upon anything that you do. It's based upon what I do. And many times what happens is we think that because our life is based upon what we do, we put our hands to the plow and do things that we shouldn't do. He says, you're not what you do. You are who God says you are. You have nothing to prove to anybody. You're loved by Jesus. You're accepted by Jesus. You're cherished by Jesus, which is why he gives you the invitation and he says, come, come to me. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, hey, you're tired, come to me, let's do some more work. He says, no, come to me. Take a break in me. Rest in me. And culture prides itself in constantly moving. But Jesus invites us to experience rest in him. He says, I want you to take a break, man. Rest in me. Rest in me. I remember when I went to China about 15 years ago, I was in college, around 2005, so about 16 years ago. And I remember we were on a tour, and the tour guide was telling us just some of the cultural things in China. And one of the things that he mentioned there, I don't know if this is still true, but he mentioned it 16 years ago. He said that the culture of people here in China is that people work 7 days a week. That's the culture. You work every day. There is no days off. And I remember hearing that, I was like, man, that's tiring. 7 days a week, no stop, no break, like just work every day. And now when I think about where we are today, I think in some ways that kind of describes our culture, where we just got to keep going and just keep going. We're like the old school Energizer Bunny. We just got to keep going. But your battery going to run out at some point. Jesus says, no. Come take a break. Come rest in me. I'm going to give us some practical things. I'm done. I'm going to give us some practical things to help us take a break in Jesus. I want you to create a time for Sabbath. What does this mean? It means it's a day where I do no work. And I know our schedules are different and challenging, I know a lot of us have different types of obligations. But even if you're not able to do a Sabbath per week, you need to have some Sabbath time in your week in some way. So if you can't take a whole day to not do anything, carve out some blocks of time where you don't do anything. Because you're not a human doing, you're a human being. If God rested, and last time I checked, he had a lot more work to do than all of us. Surely, I can find some time to rest. I want you to have some time for prayer. Every day, start your day with prayer. The things that you worry about the most are typically the things that you pray about the least. That's always how I check myself. Why am I so worried? Oh, I ain't praying about it. I worry more about it than I pray about it. Then I wonder why I'm breaking out in cold sweats. Can't sleep at night. Stressed. So much on my mind. Because you don't spend no time praying. Have some time for scripture reading. Meditate on the word of God day and night. Get a Bible reading plan. This little insert that we gave everybody here today. We've given you a scripture for 21 days straight. Meditate on that. Pastor Elvin, I don't know where to start. Start here. Every day. Spend time. Let me give you another one. You ready for this? Take a day off. Take a mental health day. I was talking with some of our group, our Connect group this past Wednesday about the Simone Biles situation and how many of us just keep going and we don't really take time to rest in Jesus and take a mental health day. You can take a mental health day. But Pastor Elwin, I got to get this money. I hear you. I feel you, Pastor. But I need this paper, because if I don't get this paper, don't nobody eat. Are you the provider or Jesus is? I want you to know that his word still works. I think you can, if you put your faith and trust in him, you will see that he actually majors in doing a lot with little to nothing at all. Which is why he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else will be added to you. I want you to rest. Take a vacation. Maybe some of us haven't taken a vacation in years. Let me help you understand something, fam. After a year and a half like the one we've had, you need a vacation. You need a break. You need a break. But remember, it's not about the destination. It's about person. And Jesus is extending an invitation to all of us today to come to him to experience a reset by receiving his rest. You know, when I thought about this series, Reset, I wanted to close the message with kind of this illustrative idea. When I think about reset, I think about something that I think many of us would appreciate. And the only thing I can think of when I hear the word reset, some of y'all gonna appreciate this. You're gonna know when I'm about to pull out this bag. Maybe, maybe not. This is what I think about right here. How many of y'all know about the throwback Nintendo, the original? Come on, somebody. Before there was a Nintendo Switch, it was just Nintendo. And you would have your Nintendo, and you know what I'm saying? You set that thing up, you know what I mean? You'd be up here, and you have your controller, and you know what I'm saying? You plug that thing in. I'm taking some of us back, right? And you plug that thing in, and you know, oh, shoot, we about to get it in. You know what I'm saying? Start, select. Right? And then you got the classic Super Mario Brother. Duck Hunt, come on, somebody. Don't y'all act like y'all know what I'm talking about. And you had this game, you know what I'm saying? And you put it in there, and sometimes, you know what I'm saying, you put it in, and you know, you hit the power button, and it may not work right, so you got to take the joint out. Yeah, blow on that joint, you know what I'm saying? Come on, Trey, you got to do this right here. Oh, man, still ain't working. Good, man. Some of y'all put that jank in the refrigerator, you know what I'm saying? But then, you know, it worked. You get it in here, plug in. Oh, snap, we good. We get to the Bowser level, right? We in here. Then the joint just freeze. Oh, wait, ho, ho, ho. Wait a minute. What's going on here? And this was a like one of the first devices, gaming devices ever created. So there was no save your spot. You couldn't save your game up here. Right? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all have had childhood traumatic experiences because you got to the last level and then all of a sudden something happened and then you had to start all over. More, what? I'm talking about me. But when you would get to that place where the game would maybe freeze up, it's interesting because the manufacturers of Nintendo would also put something up here called reset button. Reset button. So that in the event that this doesn't work the way that it's supposed to, you hit the reset and it restarts the game. Now you might be a little frustrated because you were making some progress, but you're back to a place of functioning the way you were created to function because a reset took place. And what I hear God saying to many of us in here today is that I want to bring forth a reset to your life. And what's interesting about this, the Nintendo can't reset itself. It takes something or someone on the outside to hit the reset button to fix what's going on the inside. And Jesus says, if you invite me into your life, I will bring forth the reset on the outside so you can experience the reset on the inside. That you need somebody on the outside externally to reset what's going on internally. And Jesus is saying, when you come to me, when you ask me to come into your life, when you invite me into your life, when you respond to the invitation that I have given to your life, you can experience a reset, that you can experience restoration. I know you lost joy in one season, but if you come to me, I'll restore your joy. I know you lost your peace of mind last season, but if you come to me, I'll restore your peace. Come on, somebody. If you lost happiness and hope in one season, if you come to me, reset it. Restore it. And I want you to know, family, I don't know what it is that you've gone through all this year. I know this past year and a half has been hard. It's been difficult. But I want you to understand today, Jesus is saying, I am here to hit the reset button in your life. Anybody here that says, Jesus, I want the reset. I want the new thing that you want to do in my life. I want you to open up doors. I want you to clean my heart from the inside out. I want you to renew my mind. I want you to reset my marriage. I want you to reset my relationships. I want you to bring forth a reset in my life. How does he do it? Through rest. Through rest. I want to invite us to stand to our feet. Last week we talked about rejoicing no matter what. Throughout the whole month of July, we preached this series called Living My Best Life. If you didn't hear it, you can go online and check it out. We talked about joy and how God wants us to experience his joy. But I also want you to understand what's also true about life is that there's going to be moments of grief, loss, mourning, difficulty, hardship. But in those moments, Jesus says, if you will let me step in, I'll give you rest. I'll bring you peace. I'll bring you restoration. I'll bring you hope. I'll bring you joy. I'll bring you love. One of the things that I love about our Lord is Jesus says, I can identify with this, because right before he would go to the cross, the Bible says that he was so burdened by the assignment to take upon himself the sinfulness of all the world, past, present, and future, and all of our sins, that the Bible says he went to the garden and he was under so much pressure that he began to sweat drops of blood. I don't know if you've ever been that stressed out. And the Bible says that Jesus three times said, if it's possible, Father, let this cup pass from me. Then he says, not my will, let yours be done. What did Jesus experience when he went to the Father in prayer? A reset. I got the strength that I need now to fulfill the assignment that I've come to do. And Jesus is saying today, family, the reason why I can give you rest is because I've been there. The reason why I can restore things is because I know what it feels like to struggle. I know what it feels like to want to quit. I know what it feels like to have to go through crazy things in your life. I know what it feels like. And this is why the writer of Hebrews chapter 4 says, in him we have a Sabbath rest. In Jesus we got a Sabbath rest. Through Jesus we can get peace. Through Jesus we can get restored. So in this moment, some of us are here and you're watching online and you're here in this building, you're here in this place. And I believe that some of us fall in one of these two camps. Some of us have drifted from Jesus to other things. And you have felt now the weight of that. And you know what his word is to you? Come to me. I'll give you rest. Some of us have never come to Jesus at all. We've been trying to do things on our own. We thought we could be made right with God on our own. Never worked. And you know what Jesus says to you too? Come to me, and I'll give you rest. So I'm going to lead us in a moment of prayer with heads bowed, with eyes closed. If you're one of these two, maybe you've drifted from Jesus. Maybe you have stepped away from Jesus. Maybe you've got distracted by things in life. Maybe you've never come to Jesus at all. Maybe you've been just trying to carry things so much on your own, and your life is tired, you're weary, there's a soul disquieting that's taking place. There's an anxiety and anxiousness to your soul, and you're saying, today, Pastor, when I'm going to come to Jesus, I've drifted away, but I'm going to come back home. For some of us, you might be that second person who say, I need to come to Jesus. If this is you, no matter where you are, but if you're ready today to say, I want to come to Jesus, all I want you to do, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I just want you to be honest. Could you lift up your hand? Say, I need to come to Jesus today. Amen. Thank you for your honesty. I see your hand. Amen. If you're here today, come on, lift up your hand. If that's you, I need to come back to Jesus. I'm tired. I'm weary. But today I want to receive rest. If that's you, would you lift up your hand? I want to receive rest. And if this is you and you're saying, today I want to come to Jesus, I want to experience his rest, would you say these words after me? Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose from the grave to give me new life. Thank you for rest. Thank you for joy. Thank you for new life. I receive your rest today. I receive your joy today. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on, church, let's put our hands together for those who said yes to Jesus. Come on. Online, let me get some digital hand clap emojis. Come on. Come on, church, let's make some noise for those who said yes to Jesus today. Come on. Come on.